You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's look at the Premier League football this weekend. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio and unfortunately no Derek McGovern this week. Everyone has to have a holiday, even Derek, and he's off this week. Joining me here in the studio is, first of all, our head football compiler. It's a warm welcome to Mark Steele. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. It must be an exciting time in the trading room with Leicester City seemingly romping to the title. And we keep hearing these figures bandied about how much William Hill are having to pay out. But what I want to know is, Mark, how much have you taken on those other teams?
Well, no, Leicester by far our worst result, really.
Is it really?
Yeah. But we offered 5,000 to one at the start of the season, so it doesn't take much money to kind of build up big liabilities on that. A lot of our punters have actually cashed out. They've taken advantage of the new cash-out facility we've got here at William Hill. So we haven't got them for quite as much as we did previously. But, I mean, everyone's just enjoying the unusualness of the Premier League this year. I mean, I've been in this game a long time. I thought I'd seen everything, but really this would be the most incredible achievement in any sport I think I've ever really encountered. It's really an amazing season.
Yeah, because I'm a cynic all the time. Every time I see on Twitter or William Hill paying out £50 million, I always think, yeah, but how much have they taken? But you're saying to me that Leicester, the worst result in the book.
Yeah, by far, yeah. I know people are very cynical about these PR guys. They come out and say, oh, we've lost X amount. But, you know, we are honest about it. We don't make up these figures. It's just the fact that we had such a big price on them at the start of the season that it really doesn't take much to rack up really rather big, uncomfortable liabilities.
And completing the team here in the studio, the man who is contractually obliged to appear on every single William Hill podcast now, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Alex Dunn.
Talking of uncomfortable liabilities.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you, David.
Let's get stuck in then. We start, as always, with the live televised games this weekend in the Premier League, and we're at Upton Park for West Ham versus Arsenal first up. The Hammers 14-5 to win this one, the draw 23-10, and Arsenal in the betting at even money. Enhanced odds, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win is 8-1. Danny Welbeck to score and Arsenal to win is 3-1. That was 2-1. That's been enhanced. Mark, let's start with you. I suppose Arsenal have to keep tabs on Dimitri Payet. Another free kick scored against Crystal Palace last weekend. And one of the most unusual stories emerging from that match was Damien Delaney, who was in the wall, apparently or reportedly screamed bye-bye when he hit that free kick because he believed Payet's free kick was soaring into row Z and it ended up in the top corner.
Yeah, it was an incredible trajectory, wasn't it? He's just got an incredible technique, the way he takes those free kicks. He's a fantastic player. If it wasn't for the fact that he's I think he's 29, shortly would be 30, he would really be one of the hottest properties in Europe. But I don't think, you know, one of the big clubs is going to want to pay a huge amount for him with him at that age. Very interesting that, you know, this whole fixture list is the inverse of what it was at the start of the season, and it's just interesting to look at the teams and how they've changed from what they were at the start of the season. West Ham, obviously underdogs for this game, and they were underdogs at the start of the season when they won away at Arsenal, which was a big shock at the time. But I think a lot of people are surprised that West Ham are so close to Arsenal this year. There's not really too much between them in the league table. West Ham still got a fair chance of, well, they've got to fight on for that top four position. Arsenal, you know, they're going to be in the top four, but realistically 11 points behind Leicester, albeit with a game in hand, they are probably too far behind. But both teams have really got to try for their respective goals. So I think Arsenal obviously the better team. West Ham maybe have got an eye on the midweek game against Man United, which is finally going to get played, the FA Cup replay. So I think Arsenal probably should have too much quality for West Ham on this occasion. But yeah, West Ham have got some players who can score goals there, and Depay is probably the number one of them.
Even money, Arsenal to win this match. I suppose this is Mark typical of Arsenal, isn't it? They blow their title credentials and then start performing again.
Yeah, when the pressure's off, they look $1 million, don't they? They played really well at Everton the other week. It's Arsenal fans must be so frustrated, because I mean, a lot of teams could say it this year, but you know, it really was there for the taking for them, the league.
West Ham have got good home form, Alex. They're unbeaten in their last 13. They've won 7 of those. And Slaven Bilic's side have got the best record in the Premier League in London derbies this season. They've picked up 14 points from 7 games. Arsenal have only managed 5 in the London derbies. So the Hammers 14-5 to win it. Arsenal even money, the draw 23-10.
Bit of a disappointing result last week for West Ham, I thought, against Palace. I know they were down to 10 men and Kouyaté's red card has been rescinded since, but... there's been a real sort of bandwagon about West Ham at the minute, in particular with Payet, but I've been less keen to get involved in that bandwagon. I think last week was the first time that I properly thought, oh, West Ham are really good and they'll win this, and then they let me down. So I'd still rather take them plus a goal than Arsenal. West Ham plus a goal is 3-4. I'd rather take that than even money on Arsenal. It's just a bit short, I think. West Ham have been really, really solid at home. This should be a really good game, though. You've got two sides who, as Mark said, they're looking up rather than down, in that they've got nothing to lose, really, either side. West Ham look like they're going to get into the Europa League, barring a real collapse, and Southampton or Stoke picking up a lot of points, which I don't think is especially likely. So West Ham have got nothing to lose in the push for fourth, and Arsenal will finish in the Champions League again, barring an absolute crisis. And they will still be looking at Leicester, because Leicester do have the potential to drop a few points between now and the end of the season. Arsenal do have that game in hand. I know it's very improbable, but Arsenal would pretty much need to win all 7 games that they've got left to have any squeak. So I think you'll see two sides playing pretty attacking football here. I think over 2.5 would be my main pick in this. It's 4-6. I think that's fair enough, to be honest. I think you'll see two sides really going for it. But yeah, like I said, if pushed, I think I'd rather take West Ham with a bit of a help, if you like, a bit of insurance, than Arsenal. But that enhanced odds on Payet is going to get a lot of people talking, I think, as well. Like I said, it is a bandwagon with him at the minute, and I don't think he's quite as fantastic as he's being made out to be sometimes, but he's in top form, he's scoring plenty of goals. And what price is that, Payet to score and West Ham to win?
8-1.
That's pretty big.
Enhanced from 11-2, so that looks like a good offer.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say so.
One quiz question, I'll reveal the answer at the end of the podcast. Alex Iwobi, who is... getting plenty of headlines for Arsenal at the moment. He scored in his first 2 league starts for the Gunners. Only Ian Wright and one other player has managed that in the Premier League for Arsenal. So I'll reveal that at the end of the podcast. If you can have a guess at the end of the podcast, Alex, okay. If you wish to do so. That's West Ham versus Arsenal on Saturday lunchtime. Tea time kickoff is Man City versus West Brom on Saturday. 4-11 Manchester City to win this game. The draw 7-2 and West Brom in the betting at 9-1. Enhanced odds, Samir Nasri to score and Man City to win was 17-10, now 5-2. And Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win, a massive 25-1. That was 16-1. A great result midweek for Manchester City, Alex. A drawing 2-2 in Paris against PSG, despite Fernando's howler in that game. They seem to be rejuvenated since the return of Kevin De Bruyne.
They do. He's a big player for them, isn't he? He just brings a bit of energy to them and unpredictability. And whereas Silva, Aguero and the like are fantastic players, they are predictable in the sense that, that there's nothing wrong with that. But you know kind of what you're getting. A lot of passing in and around the box. Whereas De Bruyne has the ability to run at players.
Yeah, more direct.
Drop deep. He's a lot more direct. And I don't think it was any coincidence that he figured prominently in that dismantling of Bournemouth last week. As you said, fantastic performance or fantastic result in midweek. But of course, they play again next week against PSG in midweek. And it'll be interesting to see if they do, maybe not rest players, but just rotate a little bit. That said, whatever side they play, I think it'll be too good for a Tony Pulis away side. I mean, he's known for just away from home, shutting up shop completely, playing as many defensive-minded players as he can. And I think he'll do the same here. But West Brom have had a good season. They're already on 40 points. They're well clear of relegation. And fair play to Tony Pulis for that, because he's set them up so defensively minded. They're just so rigid, and it is hard to break them down at times. But City will break them down here. Interesting that Man City have actually lost 3 of the last 4 at home in the league. Normally you'd say that their home record is pretty good, and it is on the whole. But lost 5 games in total at home this season, which you wouldn't have expected, I wouldn't have said, at the start of the season. Interesting that they have conceded goals at home this season to Sunderland, Bournemouth, Norwich and Newcastle and the like. But I don't think West Brom will get on the score sheet here. I just think they're, they're too negative. So City to nil at even money, borderline that material for me, I think, this week. I think that they'll win this with a minimum of fuss. And they've also won the last 8 head-to-heads with West Brom.
Yeah.
Both at home and away, 4 of those to nil. So I see City really just coasting through this one, 2-3, maybe 4-0.
Man City to nil in the betting at even money. I think it's a catch-22 situation here for City because, as Alex mentioned there, they have got the midweek match coming up against PSG. However, they know that qualification for the Champions League, assuming they're not going to win the Champions League, it's vital for them to get in that top four, especially with Pep Guardiola arriving in the summer.
Yeah, normally you'd expect City to maybe rotate a few players with this game being sandwiched between those two massive games against Paris, but they really can't afford it. You know, it's a real dogfight between them and Man United for the fourth place, it looks at the moment. So they can't afford to ease off at all. What I would expect them to do, I would expect them to play the likes of Aguero in this game, try and get a couple of goals up by half-time and then maybe take them off after an hour and try and conserve as much as they can for Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I think it's Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Yeah. So they'll want to conserve as much energy for that as they possibly can. I like what Alex was saying about the score to nil. We all know what West Brom try and do. Mm. They try and frustrate City. How long can they do that for? That's the big question. But you'd expect City to have the lion's share of possession, loads of chances. It's just whether West Brom can hang on for the whole game, or you know, if City get an early goal, then it could be, you know, 2-3, 4-0. No worries. But yeah, it's a real delicate situation for City at the moment. They won't be relishing this at all.
You talk about typical Tony Pulis sides as well. One stat that leaped out to me is West Brom have failed to have a single shot on target in 7 Premier League games this season. Mm. Which, if you're a West Brom fan, I suppose you accept it because you're going to stay in the Premier League, but it must be dull to watch on occasion.
I think it's a mixture of effective, which it is, and there's plenty of sides who are currently in the relegation zone that could do with someone like Pulis to just shore them up, if you like. But at the same time, it's got to be frustrating because you've got West Brom actually have some pretty good attacking talent that's often sitting on the bench. You know, like they've got a few pacey wingers and little creative players like, say, Sessegnon and Pritchard and players like that, who don't get much of a look in. They might come off the bench away from home with 20 minutes to go and make a few decent runs or something of a difference, but they don't get a massive chance because they'll often be playing the likes of Johnny Evans holding mid and then Sandro next to him, and it is very negative, but it gets the job done in most games. But I don't think so on this occasion.
I think the grass is always greener as well with fans. You know, teams who are relegated be crying out for Tony Pulis to virtually guarantee them to stay in the league. But as soon as they're, you know, the mid-table and everything's fine, oh, why aren't we playing more attacking football? Why aren't we scoring 3 and 4 goals every week? So, you know, they're very, very tough breed to keep happy, our football fans.
You both like win to nil there then for City, even money.
Very keen on that, yeah.
Sunderland versus Leicester's next. This is Sunday 1:30 televised. Sunderland are in the betting at 12-5. The draw is in the market at 11-5 and Leicester City 6-5. Enhanced odds, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 21-10 and is now 3-1. I'm getting bored, Mark. I'm getting bored by this Leicester 1-0 nonsense. I found myself cheering against them now every time they step out there. Maybe I'm a horrible man because everyone seems to be... there's undoubtedly. Everyone seems to be inspired by what Leicester City are doing. But the way I see it is they just grab one and then defend for their lives at the moment. And I was actually in that game against Southampton. I was seriously cheering against them in that second half.
Yeah, that's interesting. They're just doing what they have to do at the moment, really. I mean, you know, no extra points for style at this stage of the season, or at any stage of the season, obviously. But no one cares. It's just about getting the 3 points. I can't see many goals in this game. It's going to be really nervy from both sides, really. I mean, Sunderland really need the win. Leicester, obviously, the you know, draw might not be the end of the world for them, but this is a high intensity, high pressure game. There might not be too much quality on show. It's going to be a real fight. Leicester score first goal, you would fancy them to be able to grind out another 1-0 win the way they do it and the way they've been showing the last few weeks. Sunderland, they're just going to have to find a way because, you know, time is running out for them at the moment. And Norwich winning against Newcastle probably didn't help them much. It's going to be a really intense game. To be honest, I'd be going for under 2.5 goals and I'd be going for the draw in this game because I just can't see too much in terms of goal mouth action. I can't see too much going on.
In terms of the draw and under 2.5 goals, that's available here with William Hill at 3-1, draw and under 2.5. Leicester seem to drift every week as well, Mark. That's something that I've noticed. I don't know if you are reacting to what the Asian market's doing there, but last week I thought they looked like good even money bets, and then they just drifted and drifted and drifted, and they were almost 6-4 at kickoff.
Yeah, a lot of the Asian market's driven by a lot of the stats, you know, shots on target, possession, things like that. So Leicester, when you look at the bare stats, they're not very good. You know, they operate about 40% possession over time. They tend to get ahead, counter attack. They don't have loads of shots on target, so you can understand why they're not rated that much. And I think also people are waiting for them to get nervous. They've obviously not been in this position before, so people are just waiting for them to kind of bottom out. But they're not the best team in the league. You know, if you had to rate the teams in the league, you'd probably rate them. You might not even rate them in the top four, to be honest. At the moment, even though you know they're clear. They'd be underdogs on neutral ground against, you know, the likes of Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea even. So, you know, the market reacts to the overall standard of the team as they perceive it and recent form in terms of stats, shots on target, things like that. Rather than results, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the more sophisticated analysts, they tend to look at what the result should have been rather than what the result was, what I mean. So maybe some of these games that Leicester have won, not 1-0, the experts are thinking, oh, you're probably a bit lucky there. Go back to last week against Southampton. It was that one big decision, wasn't it, in the first half when it could have been a penalty and a sending off. We'd be talking about something completely different now just for that one little moment. So, yeah, it's those little things. Obviously, they're going to need a little bit of luck. They've had a little bit of luck in the last few weeks, you know, getting these 1-0 wins. Whether that continues, we don't know.
Do you expect this price on Leicester to drift then? 6-5 now. Do you think that will even go?
Yeah, I think they have been drifting most weeks, but they haven't been playing Sunderland most weeks, have they? So maybe not this week. So I don't think the market's too fond of Sunderland either. You know, they're not a great attacking team with loads of shots on target either. So I think the prices will go off pretty similar to what they are now, to be honest.
Alex, 6-5 Leicester City, I think, will attract a hell of a lot of people. You think you've got top of the league playing against a side in the relegation zone there. Your casual punter will see 6-5 Leicester and they'll be gnawing your arm off.
Yeah, and I can see that, but I've been really impressed with Sunderland of late, and that it pains me to say it
as a Newcastle fan.
But they've drawn the last four, but they signed really well in January. I think that's the key. Allardyce has got them playing well. And with the likes of Kasri, Barini, Defoe as a front three, you've got goals there. They're pretty lively. Kirchhoff has been really impressive in the holding role as well. And at the back, they're not conceding as many as they were. I agree with Mark. I think this will be really, really nervy. I think under 2.5 is a banker. That's 4-6 as things stand. Sunderland just need to do a bit more. They've got four draws in a row. They need to turn those into wins, and this is not an easy game to do it in. Interesting that we mentioned Leicester and then their 1-0s. That's four in a row now in the league for them.
Yeah.
Sunderland have lost six times at home this season. Five of those have been 1-0.
Right, okay.
So it's boring and predictable, but Leicester 1-0 is 6-1.
It's a big price, isn't it?
It's a big price. Whatever happens, you have to have that as some kind of saver, I think, on any bet that you have. It's a big enough price. If you are having a bet that isn't pro Leicester, just have a saver on that 1-0 because it's landing more often than it isn't at the minute. I think it will be very tight. I'm not mad keen on Leicester at 6-5. I think the draw is probably, again, the most likely outcome. But I've got to put up that 1-0 Leicester, 6-1. But under 2.5 would be the main selection, definitely.
Yeah, 4-6.
Yeah.
Tottenham versus Manchester United is the 4 p.m. Kickoff time on Sunday. Tottenham 19-20 to win the match. The draw 9-4 and Manchester United 16-5. enhanced odds. These will appeal to quite a few people, I think. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 3-1. That was 19-10. And Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win was 6-1. It's now 8-1. Worth mentioning that headline offer for Harry Kane because he's scored 22 goals in the league this season, which is more than any other Tottenham player has ever managed in a single Premier League campaign. So he's obviously in fine form at the moment. And Tottenham will know the importance, Alex, of this game come 4 p.m. on Sunday, given that Sunderland-Leicester is the 1:30 kickoff. They probably already know it's imperative that they win the football match. But if Leicester slip up at the Stadium of Light, it will give them a real chance to reinvigorate their title credentials.
I was going to say, whatever happens, it is a must-win
for
Spurs. And although in my mind they've been really impressive of late, Spurs, I've enjoyed watching them, on the bare face of it, they've only won 2 of the last 5 in the league. And that includes some games that they could have won, like the 2-2 against Arsenal. And against Liverpool last week, they played pretty well. They had chances to win it. They also had chances to lose it. But they're the kind of games that you have to win if you're going to go on to win the title. I am not crazy about their price here because Man U, we know they have two ways of playing, and the one that everyone associates them with is boring and defensive and negative. They can be quite attacking, Man U, at times, but I don't think they will be here. I think Van Gaal will set them out to, not to draw, but to be very defence-minded, very organised, and I think they'll try and stop Spurs playing. So I think it's down to how many chances Spurs can create if they can get a lucky break here or there. Now, I know it's a bit of a boring stereotype that Manchester United games and unders seems to be the way to play it. But they've had, of their 31 games so far this season, 14 of those games have gone over 2.5 and 17 under 2.5. But that's 13-20, by the way, for under 2.5 in this game. But then if you look at under 1.5, 18 have gone over and 13 of them have gone under 1.5. Now, that's basically saying that in the majority of games, if you're backing under 2.5, you may as well be backing under 1.5 for the price difference. That's 21-10 for under 1.5 in this game. So I think that'd be what I'd go for in this, under 1.5. Again, I think it'll be pretty trappy. If push for a selection, I'd say probably Spurs, but I'm not crazy about the price. So I'd probably just say another pretty tight game. But under 1.5 is much better value than under 2.5, in my opinion.
Okay, under 1.5, the play at 21-10 for Alex. A very different Spurs side and Manchester United side than we're used to in Premier League history. But you look at Manchester United's record going to White Hart Lane in the league. They have drawn 6 of the last 8, but they're unbeaten in 14 at White Hart Lane. Do you think Spurs are a little bit too short here at 19-20, Mark?
I think it's probably a weaker Man U team than has played most of those games in that you're talking about in that run. Spurs, I actually went to the game Liverpool against Spurs last week and I was very impressed with Spurs overall. I just thought last 20 minutes, Liverpool were really there for the taking. They were tiring. And for a team that was really serious about winning the league, knowing you had to catch Leicester, I just thought they didn't really go for it as much as they thought. And Pochettino was obviously really frustrated at the final whistle. He was beating the turf, wasn't he? That picture of him on the sideline. And I thought, if you're that frustrated, why didn't you
make some changes?
Just go for it. You know, those last 10-15 minutes. You know, the 3 points for a win. The difference between in winning the game and drawing the game is absolutely huge. So yeah, I was obviously, as a Liverpool fan, I was pleased they didn't go on and win it. But I just thought, you know, if I was a Spurs fan, I'd have been very, very frustrated by that. But they've got absolute quality. You know, they're a better team than Man U at the moment. But I don't actually think Man U are quite as bad as a lot of people think at the minute. I do like the way they've got these pacey players going forward. They've got Martial, they've got Rashford, and they've got Lingard. And I think they give them some real counter-attacking possibilities. So I think, as Alex said, Man U will set up pretty defensive and try and catch Spurs on the counter-attack, and it's just whether Spurs get that break and maybe get the first goal, and that might open things up. But that, if that doesn't happen, yeah, I think the under 1.5 could be a decent play.
Under 1.5 at 21-10, the play in that match. Let's move on to these non-televised games this weekend. Then we'll start with Swansea versus Chelsea. Swansea 14-5. The draw is 23-10, with Chelsea in the betting at even money. Swansea have never beaten Chelsea in a league match during their time in the Premier League. And Chelsea won this fixture 5-0 last season, which was the biggest win anyone's had away from home against Swansea in the competition. Chelsea even money? Obviously, they've turned their dismal start's been turned around in the second half of the season, Mark.
Yeah, they're two form teams, really. Chelsea actually unbeaten in 14 games, which is pretty impressive. And Swansea have taken 10 points from the last five games. So, yeah, these are two of the form teams of the league, strange as it may sound. Yeah, Chelsea, they've taken this opportunity to bring a few youngsters in. Loftus-Cheek played last week, didn't he? And Traore, the striker. So, yep. Yeah, I think they're doing the right thing. They were just underachieving earlier in the year. You know, as I was saying before, if you had to re-rank the teams, Chelsea would probably be in your top four at this moment. It just so happens they had that real terrible start to the season. So the league table makes it look like they're a lot worse than that. They're in 10th. They're actually only a point behind Liverpool in the league, amazingly.
That is amazing, isn't it, really? If you think about the plaudits Klopp's getting.
Exactly, and the perception at the moment, albeit they've played a game more, but people have got very, very short memories in football, haven't they? But having said all that, I don't think I'd be back in Chelsea at evens, I must say. I think the draw at 23-10 is far more appealing. I just think they are experimenting to a certain degree. They haven't really got loads to play for, neither have Swansea, to be honest. So it's got a little bit of an end of season feel about the game, to be honest. So, you know, Chelsea could easily go out and win, you know, 3-4, 5-0, but I wouldn't be backing them at evens, I don't think, for this one.
Okay, that's Swansea Chelsea. Alex, your opinion on this game?
I think Chelsea will win this. Again, I don't think it's the best price you'll ever see, but I'm pretty confident that they will win this. As you said, they demolished Swansea here last year. It's hard to see that happening again, but I think they'll grind a result out here more than anything. As you said, under Hiddink, Chelsea have been much improved. I think I'm right in saying they've only won one single home game in the Premier League under Hiddink, which is incredible when you think about it. They've drawn a lot at Stamford Bridge recently.
Yeah.
But I don't like Swansea, and I don't know why. It's just... they're one of those sides I just find it quite hard to warm to. But again, they've picked up results since Christmas in fantastic fashion since they got rid of Gary Monk. And they are now... well, they are safe, aren't they? Let's be honest. They're 12 points clear of Newcastle and 10 clear of Sunderland going into these games. I think Chelsea will be pretty functional, but I think they'll win to nil, 11-5. Or Chelsea in under 2.5 is 14-5 if you want to be... well, I think that's probably the better one, to be honest.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bigger price, but I think it will be 1-0 or 2-0 to the away side. And again, as you said, Mark, with Chelsea bringing in these kind of younger players, I think the side will have a bit of a fresher look to it than it has done for a lot of the season. And I know they won't have it as easy as they did against Villa, and Swansea will be up for the fight, but I think Chelsea will just have too much for them. So 1 or 2-0 to Chelsea for me.
Okay, Chelsea in under 2.5 goals available at 14-5 here with William Hill. Let's talk about Aston Villa. I suppose we've got to. Aston Villa 23-10 to beat Bournemouth, who are 6-5 with the draw in the market at 23-10. This must be, Alex, the worst team in Premier League history. It just has to be. And I messaged you about a fantastic little clip in the Times the other day. They'd picked up a piece from the Birmingham Mail about the £2 million redesign of the club's crest on the badge. Basically, what they'd done was they'd sharpened the claws of the rampaging lion and removed the word prepared from the badge.
Quite apt.
Yeah, well, one fan actually tweeted in to say that had to go because of the Trade Descriptions Act that prepared. But I think fans were annoyed that they'd spent £2 million on the redesign of a badge rather than actually investing it in the team.
Well, I think Villa released a statement saying that it wasn't £2 million, it was something like 80,000.
Right?
Still a lot, though. I could have done it for less if they'd asked me.
Well, it wasn't a complete overhaul, was it?
No, not really, no. Although they do need a complete overhaul of the playing squad because they've been pretty terrible of late. I don't really know what to say about this game, Dave. I think we'll keep it pretty brief because the first line of my notes says, is it harsh to say that no one cares? it's just one of those games. Bournemouth, the last two games, have really struggled. I know they've been against Spurs and Man City and they've had a fantastic season, so we'll take nothing away from them because prior to that, they'd actually been in really good form. So I think they're sort of the victims of their own success to a point. This is a big game for them in terms of will their season just drift off now? There's only six games left. If they lose this, you can see them continuing to lose until the end of the season. But Villa haven't scored in four. Bournemouth haven't scored in two. I have very little to put up here, apart from something that I think's massively priced, and that's Charlie Daniels anytime at 10-1. Takes penalties for Bournemouth, scored in open play away from home at Newcastle 2 starts ago. And, well, the main gist is he's a penalty taker. And yeah. at 10-1 against a Villa side that are shipping goals, their discipline seems to have gone. You can see them conceding a penalty at some point. I thought 10-1 was a fair poke in a game that I had no other view in.
I like that. 10-1 Charlie Daniels to score for Bournemouth anytime. Mark, you'll obviously be watching the liabilities as head football compiler over the weekend. Lowest turnover this match, Villa Bournemouth.
I'm not sure actually. I think punters could come for Bournemouth on this. I do like Bournemouth myself. You know, how can you not like anyone playing Aston Villa? To be honest, they've lost 7 in a row and they've got 3 wins from 32 in the league. It's, you know, they are so bad. Bournemouth, you know, they're a decent team. You know, they're a team. They really work for each other. You know, I'd have been a little bit short of this, I must admit.
Okay.
Eric Black, the caretaker manager, I thought I'd read something quite interesting about him. He's lost every game that he's ever managed. He had a spell in charge of Birmingham in 2007 and Sunderland in 2011, and he's never won a game. In fact, I think he's lost every game that he's played. So that doesn't bode well. Villa could actually get relegated tomorrow. I'm not sure if that's a big motivation for them to avoid actually that happening. It hasn't seemed to have been a motivation.
There's just been no pride at all, has
no,
there?
Absolutely not.
Because we were
no.
saying like a month ago, or 6 weeks ago, oh, pride's got to kick in at some point. It's as if they've never even seen the word before.
Yeah, nothing seems as much. Sometimes you think, you know, the pressure's off them now. Everyone knows they're down. They might play with a little bit of freedom. We haven't seen it at all, have we?
No.
You know, they're a disgrace, to be honest. So, yeah, I think 6-5 Bournemouth is pretty good. And far from being low turnover, I think a lot of punters could latch on. You know, we always lay whoever plays Aston Villa, and you know, you can understand why.
And you say you'd be shorter. Were you outvoted up there, or do you have to just move with the market?
Yeah, well, when really, you know, when you, it's a competitive industry. We can't afford to be way below what the market is really. So we've got to be competitive. The favourites certainly, and on our Premier League game. So. To a certain extent, at this time of the week, we are guided by the market. We don't want to be inferior prices to some of our competitors. So we kind of got our hands tied, really, on that angle.
Let's move on to Crystal Palace versus Norwich. That's next up. Crystal Palace 23-20 to win this game. The draw 21-10, and Norwich in the betting at 11-4. Wilfried Zaha to score and Palace to win is 5-1. It was 18-5, and Dia Mercy and Mbakani to score and Norwich to win was 5-1. It's now in the betting at 7-1. One of the big matches of the weekend, this one, Mark. Pivotal match at the bottom of the table with Palace on 34 points and Norwich on 31. And Norwich have picked up those two outstanding wins against both West Brom and Newcastle. That followed on the back of the point against Manchester City. Palace, still the only team in the top four tiers yet to win a game in the league in 2016.
Yeah, it's a massive game for both clubs. I think Norwich will really be targeting this game as a really good chance for them. You know, if they can win this game, they'll go a long way to maintaining their Premier League status for next season. I think there's some big potential team news here. That Adebayor is supposed to be really struggling. Kabay is supposed to be struggling, and Wickham's struggling. So,
right.
So I wouldn't have a bet until I actually see the teams at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Because if you remove those from Crystal Palace, then you really do you restrict their goal threat for sure.
Even Adebayor?
Well, he's but who's going to play up front? You know, if it's not him and Wickham, it's probably going to be Dwight Gayle or someone like that. He's not a good Premier League striker, really, is he? So, yeah, Bolasie's probably. He's back and he could play up top, couldn't he?
He
could probably play up there. But yeah, if you're a Norwich fan, you obviously don't want those players to start. So yeah, we've got to that stage of the season where it's less about quality, it's more about, you know, fighting, putting your bodies on the line. And I think Norwich are really embracing that. They're getting a little bit of luck that they perhaps didn't have earlier in the season. So I think they can ride that. And if you look at Palace's form in 2016, they are the worst, aren't they? They're the worst team. I think Watford are the second worst. But yeah, it's a big opportunity for Norwich. And I 11-4, that looks all right to me.
Norwich 11-4 for Mark, Alex?
Well, momentum-wise, there's only one winner, really, and that is Norwich. But I'm less sure about that. I think Palace are worthy favourites. Whether I'd have them quite as short as 23-20, I'm not so sure. But Palace have been so poor at home. Norwich on the road have been equally poor, barring that West Brom result last time. So it is a tricky one to call this. The loser is going to be very nervous, put it this way, after this game. The winner, I don't want to say they're safe, but pretty much. I quite like Dwight Gayle. I don't mind him. I think he's lively enough, and I think if I was going to be looking for a goal scorer in this, if he starts, again, we'd have to wait on team news. I think 2-1 is fair, because I can see Norwich shipping a goal here, but I think the draw would be the pick for me, tentatively, and I'd go score draw, so 16-5 for match result, both teams to score draw. And if you're looking for a correct score, I'd say 1-1 is pretty likely as well at 6-1. Again, not a game I had a really strong view on, but I think I'll play it safe, go with the draw.
Southampton versus Newcastle is next. Southampton 8-13 to win the game. The draw 13-5, Newcastle 5-1. Enhanced odds, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win was 7-5. It's now 2-1. And Alexander Mitrovic to score and Newcastle to win was 17-2. It's now in the betting at 12-1. Check out those enhanced odds on the William Hill website. Alex, you've already made reference to the fact that you're a Newcastle fan on this podcast. This is not must win, but definitely must draw. Must not lose this game.
Yeah, but so was the Norwich game.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out too well. It's not a good time to be a Newcastle fan. 8 away defeats in a row, and Newcastle travel to a venue where they've managed no points, no goals, and conceded 10 goals in the last 3 visits.
Yeah.
Doesn't bode particularly well, does it? Admittedly, Southampton 8-13 are really, really short, but I think they'll win this. Newcastle on the road have just been appalling. They drew at Man U early on in the season when there was some hope. They won at Spurs, incredibly, and at Bournemouth when they got absolutely battered all game. And that's it. That's all they've picked up on the road. It's funny, we mentioned earlier that this was the reverse of the first game of the season. Just the optimism that was around the club then compared to now is so different. It was 2-2 draw at St James's Park. And Newcastle looked pretty sharp, to be honest. But and it's a similar story with that Villa-Bournemouth game we were talking about. Villa actually won, didn't they, at Bournemouth when Gusted scored?
Yeah, first game of the
and
season.
And I actually thought, this Villa side might be good. No, incorrect. But Southampton to nil is the only thing I could put forward here at 11-8. I would love Newcastle to get something. And I do think that Mitrovic to score and Newcastle to win the enhanced, with the boost on that.
12-1,
12-1, just given that he has scored 3 in his last 2 now. And didn't even start at Norwich. Team selection-wise, it could be interesting for Newcastle because they don't have massive options, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Benitez does mix it up a bit and maybe you see CM De Jong starting, maybe 2 up front with Mitrovic and Cisse and just saying, look, we've got to score some goals here. No Newcastle player has scored in 3 consecutive games since Jose Perez around Christmas time last season. So Mitrovic will be looking to be the first player to do that. He's the chief goal threat. Wijnaldum's still yet to score on the road for Newcastle. He's been pretty good at home. Away from home, not so much.
He's disappointed me, you know, because I thought he would be talismanic for Newcastle in their battle for survival. But that last 6 weeks, he's gone off the boil, hasn't he?
He has, completely. And I still think he's a talented footballer. But personally, I'd give CM De Jong a go. He started 3 games in the league for Newcastle this season. And they were the home win against Liverpool, the away win at Spurs, and a home draw against Villa. Granted, that last result isn't fantastic, and he did miss a sitter, but they're the only 3 games he started, and Newcastle are still unbeaten, and he's been sparely used. So, yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Southampton to win to nil would be the bet at 11-8 for me.
I quite like the look of that headline offer, actually, the Graziano Pella side of things. I won't take that Alexander Mitrovic one. I'll take the Graziano Pella one for him to score and Southampton to win. Was 7-5, now 2-1. He's hit form again, hasn't he, Pella? Directly involved in each of Southampton's last 5 Premier League goals, scoring 3, assisting the other 2. And we know he's better at St Mary's as well, historically.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a good striker, isn't he? He plays up front for the Italian national side. Yeah, I think this is all about Newcastle, really. Southampton doing what they're doing. Newcastle... I feel sorry for Benitez, really. He's had got so little time to try and get things sorted up there, but there's a hell of a lot of problems that he's got to deal with. I think he'd love to get them a lot more organised defensively. He's been without Colaccini, who's someone, you know, he's a veteran player, like someone who he could really get to be a leader at the back there. And I'm not sure whether Colaccini's going to be back tomorrow. I think he's
very doubtful. Yeah, and Paul Dummett is slightly less doubtful. So it could be that at least there are four defenders playing at the back, which would make a change from recent weeks. That may help to shore things up, I don't know. But, yeah, it's... I said I didn't want to talk.
Alex, how are the fans reacting to Benitez? Are they pleased that he's come? Do they think he's going to leave in the summer if they get relegated?
I think it's overwhelmingly that he will be leaving in the summer. Well, the initial optimism was there. And I remember in the build-up to the first game away at Leicester, everyone was buoyed and they put in an okay display, I suppose. And then obviously the derby came and that was surreal in many ways, but they didn't lose. And you think, right, there's a bit of optimism, late goal, go and take that to Norwich. And then you go and throw it away at Norwich and it's just a bit... I don't think anyone expects Newcastle to get anything here, that's the thing. And they need to. And there's still home games against Swansea and Palace to come, so there is a glimmer of hope. But they're just running out of time.
I wonder if it affects the players, knowing that Benitez, if they do go down, is going to leave.
Possibly, but I think a lot of the players haven't cared all season or haven't shown enough. We mentioned with Villa, they haven't looked ready to fight. There are many players in this side that do not look bothered. And if Newcastle were to go down, would be straight out the door quite happily and go and move elsewhere. There's a few that are the exception to that rule, but that's not really how it should be. So...
Yeah, because they spent a lot of money, really, didn't they? Was it £75 million or something?
I think second highest spenders behind Man City this season. And some of the signings look... Wijnaldum did look good at the start of the season. Shelvey looks like he'll be there for some time, even if Newcastle go down. And Bemba looks like one who, despite the fact defensively Newcastle have been appalling, he looks like a good signing. But just goal scoring's been the issue and letting too many in at the back. It's just not a great combination, really. Defensively, they have been shocking this season. And like I said, when you can't field four defenders, you are going to struggle.
Difficult.
What do you think happens then here, Mark? What would your prediction be on the match?
Well, it's hard to look past Southampton, really, isn't it? Yeah. They're a good team. You know, they're probably above average Premier League team. And Newcastle have got big, big problems. So, yeah, it's hard to even see Newcastle scoring, really. So I'd probably go Southampton to win 2-0.
On to Watford versus Everton, Saturday 3 p.m. Watford 11-5, the draw 11-5, Everton 13-10. Enhanced odds: Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win is 6-1. It was 4-1, and Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 12-5. It's now in the betting at 7-2. Watford have lost their last four in the league, despite beating Arsenal in the cup. But I'm more concerned, Mark, with Everton because they've got a team chock full of talent there. Roberto Martinez has somehow managed to guide them to 12th in the Premier League.
A very inconsistent team, aren't they? Sometimes you see them and they're absolute dynamite and you think this team should be top four, and then other times they just find ways to let leads slip, concede goals that they shouldn't do. It's you know, if you're an Everton fan, you'd be so frustrated. I think a lot of them are losing patience with Martinez as well. It's just the way he sets his team up. You know, we saw it at Wigan. They're great going forward, play lovely football, but they've just always got an Achilles heel at the back. I think for both these teams, it's all about the FA Cup this season now. I know it'd be so big for Everton to actually win a trophy after all these years. I think it's 21 years now. And all the fans, they are just absolutely desperate to get some silverware, and it's a great chance for them to do it. This game... They're playing Watford. Watford, as we touched on before, there's only Crystal Palace with a worse record in 2016 in the league. Although obviously they've been pretty good in the cup. That was an amazing win at Arsenal in the cup, and then they reverted to type a little bit and lost the league game at the same venue. Both will have the cup semi-finals on their mind. Watford haven't won in five games. To me, you know, if Everton get it right, they should win pretty easily. 13-10 looks a decent price, but you know, it's what Everton are going to turn up. Really, I can certainly see goals here because Everton are high scoring, high conceding team. So, I'd probably be looking Everton to win, both teams to score. That kind of bet, really, for this game.
Everton to win and both teams to score is available at 7-2, which is a decent price. Everton have got a good record against Watford as well. They've won 9 of their last 10. in all competitions against Watford, and their last loss to them way back in 1987. So that's something, if you're looking at a pro-Everton bet here, Alex.
Yeah, and I think Everton will win this. I was surprised to see them as heavy favourites as they are. I thought Watford might be a little bit shorter than they are, but as you said, Watford's form has been pretty shocking. It is a bit of a nothing game. As Mark said, they will be focusing on the FA Cup. Both sides in poor form. But Everton have only lost twice on the road all season, which is incredible. So much to be made of how poor they've been at home. But away from home, they've only lost at Manchester United and Arsenal. They've been really, really good on the road. So I think they will win this. Watford, just classic end of season mode. You would hope. You'd hope that things just haven't gone wrong behind the scenes or whatever, and it's going to drag into next season.
Yeah.
But they've only scored 3 goals in 8 games. The goals have dried up. They've started letting them in as well. I don't think Everton justify being 13-10 exactly, but I think they'll win this, and I think they'll win it quite well. So I'll take Everton minus a goal at 16-5, take a bit of a flyer. I think what Mark said about them there being goals, I think Everton will score a few goals, maybe 2 or 3. Whether Watford do, I'm not so sure. But yeah, I'm pretty keen on Everton, just not the price. So we'll go for a bit more value.
And we finish with Liverpool versus Stoke, which is Sunday 4 p.m. but isn't televised. Liverpool 4-6 to win at Anfield. The draw 12-5, and Stoke in the betting at 5-1. Enhanced odds: Divock Origi to score and Liverpool to win is 3-1. It was 19-10, and Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win is 12-1. It was 9-1. Alex lead with Newcastle. He's a Newcastle fan. Mark, you're a Liverpool fan, so I'll let you lead off here. Brilliant result midweek against Dortmund, in Dortmund, drawing that game 1-1. And Klopp said rather humbly, to be honest, we were brilliant. That's what he said after the game. It was a huge result for them. I'm just concerned about that Thursday to Sunday. And it showed an effect against Southampton when they dominated that game and then conceded 3 late goals and ended up losing it. And they will be more focused on the Europa League now, surely.
Oh, without doubt, yeah. I would expect Liverpool to rotate the squad a little bit. Jordan Henderson's out now. He got that bad injury last night. I think he's probably done for the season. I must admit, when I did the offer earlier in the week, I was thinking Sturridge would probably start away at Dortmund. Origi would come in for the league game, and then Sturridge would play again for the return leg at Dortmund. That's not worked out, so I think Sturridge will probably start on Sunday.
Yeah,
now.
And Origi might come in.
And Origi might come on as sub after 70 minutes or whatever it may be. I expect Lucas, if he's fit again, I would expect him to come into the lineup. Flanagan's not involved in the Europa squad, so I would expect him to come into the lineup. So I think they'll freshen things up a bit. Firmino may start because he didn't start on Thursday, but I still think Liverpool put a strong team out. He hasn't rested really in any league game so far, so I don't think he's going to rest wholesale. But I do think he'll freshen it up, because Liverpool's season is all about what happens next Thursday night in the return leg. One thing I've really noticed since Klopp's been there, Liverpool's pressing game is, you know, it's no secret. It's you know, really high intensity stuff. Mm. But as a result of that, you can't do that for 90 minutes unless you're superhuman in terms of fitness. Liverpool have been dropping off. I noticed it was really evident against Spurs last 20 minutes. Liverpool, probably a better team sort of first hour, but really dropped off and were hanging on towards the end against Spurs. So that's just the way Klopp's asking them to play, and I think he's asking a bit much of them. If they don't get a clear lead in that sort of first hour, then they are vulnerable. So looking at these trends, I think there are ways of kind of exploiting those characteristics of teams. We've got a price out on site. We've got 13-2 for Stoke to come from behind and to either win or draw.
I'm just looking at that. It's a good price.
Yeah, though. Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of these prices, we just kind of generate off sort of goals, expectations and things like that. So it doesn't really account for these individual little characteristics of teams and little idiosyncrasies. We've also got 11-1 that Liverpool lead at half time but don't go on to win the game. So I'd be looking at something like that. I mean, Stoke are a decent enough team. They've got goals in them. They actually won at Anfield in the Capital One Cup semi-final on the night. They won 1-0 on the night, and then Liverpool won on penalties. So they've got what it takes. You know, they've got some real quality there. I think Shaqiri's back, and I think Shawcross is back in defence for them, and he's obviously a key player for them in terms of their defensive organisation. So yeah, Liverpool, without doubt, slightly better team than Stoke. Play a pretty strong team, and I think, you know, if they go into the lead, you get to sort of 65-70 minutes, they'll be making substitutions. If they're only 1-0 in the lead, for example, at that point, then they are definitely vulnerable to Stoke. So that's the sort of angle I would be taking on the game.
I like that. I like both those prices, 13-2 for the come from behind to win or draw, and Liverpool to lead at half time but not go on and win the match in the double result market at 11-1. Alex?
I thought Stoke were maybe just a bit big here, given Liverpool's exploits in midweek. That was sort of the only angle I had, really. Klopp's only lost to Palace and Man U at home in the league. Mark mentioned that Stoke came here and did win in the Cup, but Liverpool won on penalties. And I just think, you mentioned the high press as well. I think Stoke, on their day, have got the players to play through that. They've got some really talented individuals on the ball, the likes of Shaqiri and Bojan, and if they're on their game, which they're not all the time, if they are, I could see all of a sudden 1, 2, 3 passes and you've got 4 or 5 players running at Liverpool's back four. So for that reason alone, really, I think Stoke are worth chancing at the price that they are. I'd probably take Stoke plus a goal at 5-4. I think that's fair. Nothing more than that. But I just think this is a little bit closer than the market has it, with Liverpool certainly more interested in games in midweek at the minute. Stoke have got, I don't say they've got nothing to play for because they could get into Europe, but I think they're sort of reaching their end of season feeling now. And whether that'll bring out the best in their players, I'm not sure. Whether they'll go, oh, OK, well, we've got loads of creative players and all of a sudden they're going to come to the fore, I'm not sure. But I think they've got enough Stoke in midfield as well, with Mbula, who I think has been a really good acquisition. I think he can shield a bit better than they have done in recent years, Stoke. And I don't think it's going to be easy for them, but I don't think Liverpool should be as odds-on as they are.
Okay.
So I'll take Stoke plus a goal.
Stoke plus 1 at 5-4 there. We've done all 10 matches then, chaps. We just need the naps. What's the best bet for you this weekend, Mark?
I'm going to stick with that Stoke to come from behind and either win or draw. 13-2, that looks a really good price to me, that.
Very good. Stoke to come from behind and win or draw. You find that in the other markets section on the William Hill website, and it is available at 13-2. Mr. Alex Dunn?
The sensible nap is City to win 2-0 at even money. The ambitious nap is Charlie Daniels anytime at 10-1. Just because he's a penalty taker against Villa and he's 10-1.
For the purpose of the treble, which one are you going to shove
even
in?
Even money, Man City to win 2-0.
Even money, Manchester City to win 2-0.
Otherwise, the treble is going to be four figures.
It will be four figures. Even money, Manchester City to win 2-0. It goes with Stoke to come from behind and win or draw. And I'm going for Graziano Pella to score any time at 21-20 against Newcastle. I think they'll concede maybe more than once in that game. So I'll go with Pella to get one. Sorry, Alex.
Okay, Dave.
That treble is available at 29.75-1. Stoke to come from behind and win or draw, 13-2. Graziano Pella to score anytime, 21-20. And Man City at even money to beat West Brom 2-0. Mark, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Always good having you on the podcast. And Alex, thank you as well.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And you can get us on iTunes as well. Again, just type in William Hill to subscribe to all our podcasts. And we'll be back for more Premier League action next weekend. And check out The Punt on Monday, where we will look at the European fixture list as well. Thank you for your company, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.